We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Man, if I'm Bill Walton, this is the greatest show in the history of Western civilization.
So you know what? I felt like that you would be able to channel your inner
I can't Bill do impersonations, Walton. But I can channel a little Bill Walton.
That was close enough. Yeah, I mean, all you need to do is take you a couple of shrooms and maybe shoot,
go a week without a shower, things like that.
You'd be good to go.
I'm excited for the next 2 hours. One, because I miss you guys. I haven't seen you guys in forever. That includes you, Joe George. Cat-like quickness, Joe George. We'll get to that later. But, man, what a day to talk sports, huh? You have the Rockets making moves, perhaps, at least rumored to make moves. Carlos Correa, what's going on with him? We'll get to that later. And, of course, OTAs for the Houston Texans, a time to get excited as we near in on 100 days before the start of the NFL season.
Yeah, man, it's always a lot to talk about, especially in the city of Houston. You would think of that as, you know, this is kind of the dog days of summer. It's late May, getting ready to be June, and the only team in town that's playing is the Astros. But you know what? The sports world is just the gift that keeps on giving, man. It's a lot of stuff we got to get into.
Always.
Sports does not sleep, especially in the city of Houston with all the storylines you have, because the Texans are the Texans, and they're always going to be exciting and have their own storylines of their own. The Astros won a World Series not that long ago, and they have superstars that, you know, create some storylines. We'll dive deep into the Carlos Correa news a little bit later. Of course, he has a fractured rib at the hands of a masseuse. We'll talk to a masseuse later on in the show to see if it's possible that Carlos Correa could break a rib at the hands of a masseuse. But did you guys see this from Mike Fisher? He's up in Dallas talking about the Houston Rockets offseason a little bit. He covers the Mavericks. But he's saying that the Rockets either have already called the Mavs about trading for Clint Capela or are about to, and when they do, the Dallas Mavericks will listen. Of course, this comes on the heels of the tweet we saw earlier today, because when Woj tweets, we listen. And Woj tweeted earlier today, sources and calls to front offices, Houston GM Daryl Morey showing an aggressive desire to improve the roster with all players and picks available and talks. Hard to imagine a James Harden scenario. That's a curious part of that tweet. But the rest under contract, perhaps even Chris Paul, could be moved in the right deal. We saw all the assistant coaches get fired. We're thinking that Mike D'Antoni could be signing a contract extension, although he hasn't yet. Chris Paul and James Harden, they had some heated words for each other after the end of Game 6. And who knows where the Rockets are going right now with Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey at the helm and at the charge.
Listen, man, I'm interested why you said, when you looked at that tweet and you said to yourself, it was interesting that they mentioned the fact that Harden was basically untouchable. That was what I took from that tweet. You're not trading James Harden, man, because there's nobody you can trade James Harden and get somebody back that is of equal value or better. There's no guys in the league that you can make that trade and it makes sense for you.
Kawhi?
You can't trade a guy that's a free agent.
It's not realistic. I mean,
okay, you're not trading, but you could bring Kawhi in and trade James Harden.
Like, I would trade James Harden for LeBron. I would trade him for Kawhi. I would trade him for Durant.
I would trade him for Paul George.
I'd trade him for the Greek Freak.
Wait, like, you would trade James Harden for Paul George?
Right now, he ain't showing me he can win.
Neither is Paul George.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he can't get out the first round. But, he can't get out the first round.
I mean, I think that's just okay. I think that's being over there with Russell. I think Russell.
Russell's fault.
I think when you look at it, what's the common denominator of I mean, when you look at the Slim Reaper, he left, won a title.
The Slim Reaper. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's his nickname,
the Slim Reaper.
Slim Reaper.
Where have I been?
when you look at, I mean, everywhere he's like, Kevin Durant is proof he's probably the greatest player on the planet right now. And when he was there, he wasn't far off of being the greatest player on the planet when he was there.
Kawhi is right now the close second. He's right there with him. He's right there with him.
No question.
And he's fighting through injury, and he's better on defense.
Yeah,
He's not the lights out shooter
like he is, but he is. I mean, it's right now some good basketball being played, man. Well, I mean, what's left of it,
right?
You know, the playoffs were, because I'm not a big basketball fan. I tell y'all that all the time. If it's not the Lakers, I'm not a big basketball fan.
So you're really not a big basketball fan.
But I've enjoyed
all the stuff y'all got. No.
It's a cluster over there. I don't understand what's going on. And the worst part is, you know what's funny is We all watch the main station on that. That's an ABC affiliate. That's not a part of us, but we all watch the main station that comes on every day,
right,
all day. And it was just hilarious watching yesterday how ESPN writes this article, and Stephen A., who's an ESPN guy, is sitting there going against the article, and then brings Magic on to go against the article even more. It was, I'm like, this is total dysfunction going on in the Lakers organization and at the big station. It's crazy.
Now the question is that dysfunction going on here in Houston?
Right now, I believe so.
Why do you think that?
Because I mean, right now, everybody's pointing the fingers at everybody. Why did we lose? All this money we spent last offseason, why did we lose? Clint Capella.
The Warriors, that's the answer.
Yeah, but the Warriors, I mean,
it's not that simple though.
It is that simple.
I mean,
wait
a minute. Hold on. I gotta stop you right there. Clint Capella can play harder. He can play better than what he put out there.
No question.
That has nothing to do with the contract you signed with him and how good the Warriors are. He's got to play harder.
If he plays harder, do they beat the Warriors?
Yeah.
Come on.
If Clint Capella averages four more points a game and four more rebounds, they beat the Warriors.
I don't know, man. Like, here's my thing. Is right now, the Warriors are Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying? The Warriors are Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, they got everybody.
It's Wu-Tang fell off. You saw the Of Mice and Men documentary. They fell off, too.
But you got to remember, it was still nine of them.
Yeah, I don't understand.
So you lose. I mean, I'm just saying, name me.
Joe George, help him out a little bit.
But my thing is, name me another team that gets three to four guys hurt and still whoop you.
The Astros.
The Astros did it last night. Yeah. No question. Shout out to AJ Hinch. Yeah, exactly. 100 wins.
Let's talk about the Rockets, because we saw that Daryl Morey, the Woj bomb, that everybody's on the market. Everybody's available, although the Rockets don't really have a whole lot in their arsenal. They don't have many picks, and the players that they do have are overvalued and overpaid, with the exception of Eric Gordon. Although Eric Gordon, does that really move a team's meter a whole lot? Probably not. He's a great sixth man. He's a good starter, but he's not a superstar where it seems like NBA teams are wanting to get left and right.
I would keep Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's a glue guy.
Right. I agree. I love Eric Gordon.
He's one of those guys who, no matter what game it is, no matter what's going on, he's dependable.
All right, so let's – What do the Rockets need to do this offseason? Because everybody's talking about unloading the Chris Paul contract, which is a fair point. Here's my case against that.
I think you keep Chris Paul.
If you do trade Chris Paul, you're not going to get back a player as good as Chris Paul, aging over the hill Chris Paul. I'm not a Chris Paul fan. I think he's over the hill. I think he's old. I think he's lazy. I think he came into the season out of shape, and I don't see that improving. But you're still not going to trade that contract and bring in a better player than Chris Paul. Clint Capella, same thing with the Mavericks. Who are you going to get from Dallas that's going to make you a better team next season? Nothing. So my thought is, either they're going to stay put and run it back take two without a Kevin Durant team with Golden State, without Golden State with Kevin Durant, or Daryl Morey's thinking about doing something like the Toronto Raptors did, where he's trading Chris Paul, getting rid of the contract, trying to get some picks back. He'll trade Clint Capella to Dallas for a couple of picks, and then he sells everything he has except James Harden, sends it to New Orleans for 1 year of Anthony Davis, and sees what happens.
Anthony Davis ain't coming here.
It's not his choice. Just like it wasn't Kawhi's choice to go to Toronto.
Right.
Just like it wasn't Paul George's choice to go to Oklahoma City. He went because of trade, and then he signed there, which nobody thought was possible.
Because he wanted to come home. But he signed there under peer pressure of Russ talking about him the way he talked about KD. Me personally, I would have left. I'm not staying in Oklahoma City and not going home.
I'm with you. Especially, look what happened this year.
If he signs with LA, LA goes deep in the playoffs.
All right, why don't you trade Chris Paul?
Because I think, you need a floor general, for one. For two, I think, like I said, he's going to keep James in check at some point.
That's part of the problem, though.
That's part of the reason
why I would trade Chris Paul. You might not get back the assets that you think you should get. There's no way you can, because his contract is too high and his play is not good enough to match up with it. So you're going to have to basically give him away. But the chemistry in the locker room, from what I'm hearing over there,
but I think it's too alpha males. And my thing is, you can't have James Harden run a roughshod over the whole team. Cause all of a sudden when they start losing, or they don't be successful next year, they be like, we gave you the team. And what they're going to say, same thing they said 2 years ago. If we would have had Chris Paul, we would have won. If we would have had Chris Paul, we would have won. I don't think you get, like, having a wave like that and saying, James, you got it. Chris, you got it. What other team in the league has those type of assets?
But it's not the same Chris Paul, though, that it was 2 years ago. But you saw the drop off in his play this year.
But you're hoping we own him. We're hoping that we can keep him, we can get him back to his old form and help us win games.
That sounds like a hope creed.
But what's the best chance for the Rockets to win a championship next year?
Playing defense.
There is no.
I think it's keeping Chris Paul. It's keeping Chris Paul, keeping Clint Capella, using the mid-level exception, trying to run it back another year. Hope Kevin Durant leaves Golden State and Steph Curry sprains his ankle.
Get rid of Mike Antoni.
That's almost like a defeatist attitude, though. Like running it back again, I don't see that.
What's the alternative?
Daryl Morey's got to make some moves. Where he gets rid of Chris Paul, he brings in some pieces that aren't individually as good as him,
uh-huh,
or the names as him, but
they fit James Harden better.
They fit him better, and they replace his production. That's what you have to do. Daryl Morey, if you wanted to have a GM on your staff to make a move like that happen, that's the guy to do it. That is what he's known for doing. Is taking pieces and moving them and bringing guys in here that fit with what James Harden is going to be able to do. So that's your best hope. I don't think your best shot is to bring Chris Paul back and bring everybody back, re-sign. What are you going to do with Capella? Because Capella is not, he's not built to play against.
I like Capella. I love him. Good in the Golden State series.
Trade him to Dallas.
Dallas has nothing we'll you want, though, that's going to make you better. Here's Chris Paul.
Bust us great.
We talk about fight.
Clint Capella plays very well against a bunch of guys not named the Warriors.
We're talking about Chris Paul. Chris Paul getting assets in return for Chris Paul. Next year at 34, 38, 38 and a half million. The year after that at 35, 41 million. The year after that at 36, 44 million. You're not getting anything.
There's always suckers.
You're
going to
have to give.
There's always a sucker.
It's
going to
be the Brock Osweiler trade.
There's always a sucker. There's always a mark that a good GM can take advantage of.
You would have to add a future first just to get rid of Chris Paul, just like you had to add a future second to get rid of Brock Osweiler.
The Texans got better after they traded Osweiler.
Speaking of the Texans, is there anything that could happen at OTAs that would fire you up even more about the Texans in 2019? We discuss next at Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610. Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610 with Wade Smith and Travis Johnson. I'm Jeremy Branham. Joe George doing all the hard work behind the glass. 713-572-4610, the number to get in. On Twitter, it's Smitty74 all day. He's at TrapJ99. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We're all on Twitter at SportsRadio610.com. Texans, of course, had OTAs again today. They had an open media session. And I thought this was an interesting question. Is there anything that can happen in OTAs? Because OTAs are oftentimes, I think, mislabeled. It's boring. There's not a whole lot going on. What are you really learning about the team? I think you learn a lot about the team. I think it's a good chance for young players to make an impression. And I also think it's a good gauge for us to start to get an idea of what the 2019 Houston Texans are going to look like. So whenever I look at this question, what could happen at OTAs that would really excite me going forward into 2019? The answer for me, I want to see a couple of the young players really show out. Kiki Coutee, who was really promising last year. I know the negative on him is that, well, he had a hamstring injury. He's always hurt. Well, he was last year. He never really was at Texas Tech. We'll see what happens going forward in his NFL career. Second, Deontay Foreman. I feel like this offense is on the cusp of being a top 10 offense in the NFL if they have a couple of things go their way. Kiki Coutee, nice balance for Hopkins and Fuller. Deontay Foreman, help Lamar Miller in the run game. And, of course, the one thing that always sticks at your side, the offensive line has to be better.
For me, what would excite me to really get me fired up about this season is if I see this young tackle that we took in the first round go out there and lock up J.J., lock up Jadavian, lock up all them guys. And, I mean, I think people be like, oh, you know, what about J.J.? And they're not doing well. But if I see this young man out here like Tony Boselli in his prime, I'm going to be like, that's going to get me more excited than anything else. Seeing QT healthy, seeing Deontay Foreman, seeing our quarterback throw lasers, watching that tackle, if he sit there and go to work, and it's that pretty work too. You know what I'm talking about. when you turn on the film, you be like,
yeah.
Are y'all? You know, you turn on the film, like when you watch the All 22, and even as a group, and when the whole group, when you hear them whispers in the back of the meeting room, and everybody's not watching the play, they're watching this young guy go to work. Charles Spencer was like that before he got hurt. Charles Spencer was a dang good tackle. And everybody never forget his rookie year, first game he starts, and we sitting there looking like, oh my goodness, are you watching this young man work? And then all of a sudden, even the first half before he gets hurt in the Colts, everybody's whispering, do you see what this man was doing to Dwight Freeney in his prime? And he fresh out, I mean, he's 6 months out of college.
Yeah, he was picking on grown men.
Picking on grown men and doing them real ratchet.
But you know what? That is so extremely rare. That's something that I'm a realist.
I'm super realistic.
If that happens, you definitely would get excited about that. But me personally, I don't even think that's a possibility. Like J.J. Watt getting locked up.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying what would excite me.
That'd get you going.
You know, that's really the only thing. Because I know, listen, when I know J.J.'s going to be J.J.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? J.J.'s going to be J.J. Jadavion's going to be Jadavion. Whitney's going to be Whitney. But what I like to see is.
Jadavion.
Is Whitney going to be Whitney? He wasn't last year.
But he wasn't last year because I think because what they did to him. That wasn't on Whitney not coming to ball. That was on them trying not to make sure that we don't have to pay Whitney as well. So let's sit there and drop a pass rusher that's got 15 sacks for us in a season. Let's drop him back into coverage and make him a coverage linebacker.
Now, this is something
that had nothing to do with Whitney.
This is something that could come that would be interesting that would come out of OTAs in this offseason since Clowney is not going to be there.
Yeah.
The word is he's not going to be there till week one. You have a guy like Whitney Mercilus that's an ace in the hole that can play the same spot that Clowney plays and can play it at a high level. What happens when Clowney comes back? Like, what are the chances?
Trade bait.
What are the chances? Who's trade bait? Clowney's trade bait.
No.
What are you going to – or Whitney's trade
bait? Because I mean, I think they're going
to – Once you get to that point, though, once you're in that point of the season, trading anyone makes absolutely no sense because now you're making your team worse for this year.
Tell me the first NFL team you know that really cares about being worse or better when it comes to getting rid of players whenever they see fit. The Raiders were worst team when they got rid of Khalil Mack. But what'd they do? Got rid of Khalil Mack.
But they knew they weren't going to be good.
Right. I'll say that.
And
I'll
their
say
defense
this,
was already bad.
I'll say
they
this
had
for
a
the
bad
Raiders.
Defense.
I understand.
The Raiders knew they were going to lose 12 games with Khalil Mack, so they figured we might as well lose 12 games without him.
And they didn't have any money to pay him.
You're right. But at the same time, how many teams have you always seen take their personal feelings about somebody and trade a guy away, and everybody in the locker room knows we don't have a guy to replace him. But the team is like, oh, let's next man up. But you as a player, you know good and well, we don't have nobody better than this dude on this roster.
But how many teams do that when they consider themselves a legit contender to play in the playoffs or get to a Super Bowl?
The Patriots, but not at that time of the year.
But the Patriots always have a replacement.
And not at that time
always,
of the year.
They always have a replacement.
The Patriots like Vegas. They know something.
They know something that everybody else don't know.
Yeah, they always know something.
We're going to get Trent Brown. We'll throw a late-round draft pick and bring in Trent Brown in here, and he'll start for us all the way into the Super Bowl and start, 19 games or whatever it was, and they damn near be an all-pro.
Yeah.
And they know these things.
They get rid of guys. The only one I seen them get rid of that I felt like he still had a lot of juice in the tank was Richard Seymour. When they got rid of Richard Seymour, I'm like, wow, you get rid of Richard this fast, but Richard asked for more money. But outside of that, you remember when they got rid of Dalius Thomas, everybody's like, are you kidding me? Like, a Dalius is still make? All of a sudden, 2 years later, he falls off the map.
I think Bill Belichick was going to do that with Brady. I really do.
He was.
Robert Kraft interfered.
Yeah, but Brady pulled that whole card. Mm-hmm. I said whole card because I used to think it was something else. Back in the day when Kobe would say, I used to think he'd say, pull that whole card. You know what I mean?
But yeah, that's what I thought too.
I remember being schooled up on this.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, he pulled an ultimate power move. But at the same, but it's a lot of teams. And you got to think about it. Imagine if you'd have done that to Brady. That's a contender. And say, you know what? We'll get rid of you. Even if you go win titles somewhere else.
The 49ers did it with Montana when they had Steve Young.
And
so,
they trade, but
there is precedent.
And nobody knew Steve Young. Steve Young balled in Tampa Bay, but nobody knew Steve Young was going to be a future Hall of Steve Young.
But listen, even in the example you gave about potentially trading Tom Brady, they still had Garoppolo there. Mm-hmm. They had somebody that could replace him. You got to think about it. They went 11-5 with Castle at quarterback. Think about that. Castle.
Matt Castle hasn't started a game since our senior in high school.
Exactly. He didn't start at USC. He was just there. You know what I mean?
Have I ever told you a story about Matt Castle?
No.
And all the positions that Matt played.
I would love to hear it though.
Matt was a second team punter at one point.
Was he good? Was he a good backup punter?
No.
He was averaging about 32 yards.
They put him at tight end at one point. Like then Brandon Hans.
Wait, they had him. He's about 6'6".
Oh yeah, but Matt Castle was a way better baseball player than he ever was a football player. And he's still cashing a check.
No question.
I say that's Bill Belichick's best coaching job ever, winning 11 no games question. With Matt Castle. Kind of like Michael Jordan when he hit like 246 in AAA. People dogged Michael Jordan for that. I think it's one of Jordan's best accolades he's ever had. 246 in AAA when you haven't played baseball for 12 years. It's kind of similar to Bill Belichick winning 11 games with Matt Castle. Who are you interested, Smitty, in learning about and hearing about coming out of OTAs and just as we get forward through training camp and things like that?
Two guys that I'm really looking forward to hear about, and it's a competition between the two guys. It's Martinez Rankin at left guard and Senio Clemente. I want to see
Senio Clemente.
I want to see if Clemente can stay healthy throughout this entire OTA time and then into the training camp, and then I want to see how Martinez Rankin's, how he adjusts to going from left tackle, right tackle, playing the tackle position to playing guard. I think he has a legitimate shot to start. I think if he starts, there's no way that Titus Howard or Max Sharpton starts at left tackle. Because I think that would be the worst thing that you can do is to put a young Titus Howard next to a young Martinez Rankin. So I think if Clemente starts at left guard, then their chances of Howard starting go up because you have a veteran right next to him. There's something to be said for that, and there's something to be said for defensive coordinators that could see those two young guys over there. They'll be looking at chops, looking forward to like, we finna put these dudes through the blender because right. They're not gonna have any clue what's going on. And so those two guys though, Martinez Rankin and Senio Clemente, those are the two guys that I'm looking to see something out of OTAs and training camp.
What's your week one offensive line right now?
Your best
guess, not their talent right now. Let's assume that we've went through training camp. You've seen what you've had to see in preseason.
Right.
Your best guess on what the week one offensive line looks like.
I'm going to give you my opinion on what I think that the Texans are going to do. Not what I want them to do necessarily, but what I think they're going to do. I think the starting right tackle is going to be Shantrell Henderson. I think that the starting right guard is going to be Zach Fulton. I think the center is going to be Nick Martin.
I like that.
I think that Martinez Rankin is going to be the left guard, and I think the left tackle is going to be Matt Khalil.
Don't think Titus Howard will start week one?
I don't.
Going against the general on that.
Do you think Matt Khalil is going to give us enough, show us enough? Because I believe Matt Khalil might be a bubble guy as well, though.
No question. He's either going to start or he's going to get cut. It's one or the other. I'm going to be positive and say he's going to stay healthy.
Yeah. I hope he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, then he'll be the starter.
Is Matt Khalil to Titus Howard what Tom Savage was to Deshaun Watson? Or he's your week one starter, but he's not your week two starter.
The only difference is Tom Savage had no pelts on the wall at all. Khalil actually went to a Pro Bowl, had some success in the league. Tom Savage had never even been out there before. You know, even though Tom Savage had been in the system for 4 years by that time, he had never went out on the field and done it except for preseason games.
Can I tell you what I don't like about your offensive line week one?
What would you like
is
about
that you're not starting the number 23 pick that you spent and reached on.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. It's perfectly. Are we trying to have this guy be the guy for 12 years? Or are we trying to rush him into it and potentially break him early on and then he becomes good somewhere else? Because that happens all the time.
Might be a good test, too, on how long the leash Bill O'Brien feels like he has, too, right? If he feels like, hey, I need to make a 10-year decision, maybe it's not starting Titus Howard right away. What if it's maybe, hey, the leash is not that long, and maybe it's a 2-year decision, maybe they do start Titus Howard.
I don't think there's any pressure at all on Bill O'Brien to start a young tackle just for the sake of we drafted him high, so we got to play him. I think him and Brian Gann are in complete alignment on the decisions that they're going to make about who's going to play, the type of guys they want to bring into the building. I truly believe that. So with that being the case, that doesn't come into play. That comes into play when you have a GM and a head coach that aren't on the same page.
Exactly.
And, you know, one guy is ready to put the other guy out. And so then it's CYA. You know what I mean? And you don't have to worry about that in this situation.
I totally agree. When you think about the way they functioned this past year was everything was together. And the way they drafted, when you hear Bill O'Brien talk about the versatility of the offensive line, and you hear the same stuff coming out of Brian Gaines' mouth, I think that to me was the biggest show of these guys are on the same page. These guys are in the same meeting.
Solidarity.
They're aligned.
They had the slogan last year, One Texan. You know, and I think that was the biggest issue. It's not like what your boy had going on in New York where they didn't let the head coach in the draft meeting.
Right.
You know, like Where did he do that at? Who raised these guys?
That's why Adam Gase was looking like that at the press conference.
He knew that. He knew what was ahead for there in New York. All right, coming up next, it's the rib heard around the city of Houston and why you should be very concerned about the Astros' injury so far. We'll also talk to a massage specialist coming up about that Carlos Correa fractured rib at the hands of a masseuse. It's next on the Smitty and Trapp Show on Sports Radio 610. Smitty and Trapp Show on Sports Radio 610. Wade Smith, Travis Johnson, Jeremy Branham with you. Joe George behind the glass. 713-572-4610. In a moment, we're going to have on a licensed massage therapist, Joanne Brito, will call into the show from Massage Ninja. We have some tough questions. We have some curious questions we need to ask her about this Carlos Correa injury. We've heard by now Carlos Correa has a fractured rib. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. He sustained the injury by getting a massage on Tuesday morning. Let's go back to the early part of the timeline. Carlos Correa, you had a day game on Memorial Day with the Astros and the Cubs. AJ Hinch said that Carlos Correa had a scheduled day off. Totally believe it. Day game after a night game, shortstop, coming off an injury. Totally believe it. Supposed to be in the lineup Tuesday. Everybody gets to the ballpark. Carlos Correa is not in the lineup. AJ Hinch lets us know this.
So Carlos, yesterday, scheduled off day. He felt great. He went home. He woke up this morning. He was getting some.
That's what AJ Hinch.
He was getting some.
What was he getting?
That's not the whole quote.
Oh.
Wade Smith had a little fun in editing. Here's the whole quote with AJ Hinch.
This morning, he was getting some. We're doing some things at home and getting treatment and stuff, and reported some soreness around his rib, and alerted us. And he was in the lineup, so I took the lineup down before you guys came in the clubhouse and remade it. He's unavailable, so he's not at the ballpark right now. He's seeing our doctors, and we're getting at the bottom of whatever his issue is.
That was yesterday. You heard sore rib, going to our doctors. The doctors found a fracture in his rib, out 4 to 6 weeks. He's been placed on the IL. He's on the injured list. Astros called up Miles Straw, the corresponding move. We know Carlos Correa, of course, had the bad back last year. He's talked about his body a lot this season, you know, going through rehabs. He has post-game treatments. He does all of these things. In fact, here is Carlos Correa earlier this season talking about how he's taking care of his body better this year.
When it comes to my body, I spend a lot of time every single day stretching and, you know, doing everything that I need to do in order for me to be able to stay healthy every day on the field. That's why you guys don't see me here after games, because, you know, it takes me an hour after games to do my routine or for me to wake up the next day and, you know, stay feeling good.
Carlos Correa got off to a great start, put the bad back behind him, the bad season behind him, was playing really well. Carlos Correa saying this a couple of hours ago about his fractured rib. I'm extremely disappointed about not being on the field with my teammates. I sustained a rib fracture during a massage at my home on Tuesday. To sustain an injury in such an unusual way makes it even more frustrating. However, I will work hard to get back on the field as quickly as possible to help our team achieve our goal of winning another championship. So, does this pass the lie test? I think it does. I believe Carlos Correa fractured his rib at the hands of a masseuse. I totally believe it.
It sounds kind of suspect to me, bro. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've been getting massaged on a consistent basis for probably 20 years now. And there's
You're
no
stronger
way
than
in
Carlos
hell.
Correa. You're a little tougher. You play in the NFL.
Maybe I drank a little bit more milk when I was growing up or something. You know, the calcium deposits form better in my body, but I don't know. But it sounds kind of suspect to me. I don't know. Just at first listen, I'm like, you was getting a massage and you broke your ribs?
But here,
like, what type of massage was it?
And not just that, I want to hear the whole story. Like, okay, yeah, you got ribs up here, but I don't know no massage therapist that massages directly on the ribs on the side. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I've gotten a rib massage before.
I've gotten a rib massage before.
Keep in mind, he has a bad core. He's working on his core. I know you've never had core problems.
I've had a lot of core problems. Yeah, but I can't see that. Like, I think somebody might have punched him in his rib.
Somebody punched him in his rib on a Tuesday morning?
Could be.
What are you doing to get punched in your rib on a Tuesday morning?
I thought you were somebody else.
Fighting over latte. Yeah, exactly.
You fighting know. Over latte.
Yeah, you might be fighting over a chai latte. Be like, hold on, that was my chai latte.
He was in a Starbucks line.
Starbucks line. It gets rowdy at the Starbucks now.
Called out the wrong name.
All right, we're not professionals by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to being a masseuse. You guys have gotten some professional massages. I've went to, you know, a couple of shops in the past. Massage Envy, nothing like that. Joanne Brito, who works at Massage Ninja, has worked with you before, Smitty, an LMT licensed massage therapist, joining us now. Thanks for joining us, Joanne. First question I have for you, is it possible for Carlos Correa to fracture a rib at the hands of a masseuse?
I mean, it's possible.
There you have it.
It's not very common. I will say that. It's not very common at all. But is it possible? Yes. But the only two, I mean, I don't even know what type of massage was he getting. Do y'all know? Was it like a standard massage or?
He said it was deep tissue. That was, isn't that what the
he said deep tissue, Joanne, and last year he had back issues, if that helps at all.
Okay. See, well, the only two times, and I've been a massage therapist over a decade, where clients have told me they like fractured or dislocated, it was either through a Thai massage or an Ashiatsu massage. Those are the only two cases where I've heard of like broken ribs, because you have to think it has to have an excessive loading on the ribs. So like, I don't ever want to down talk. I'll just like start this off by saying I never want to down talk a therapist's work because I'm not privy to like all the information. So I don't know like what were they doing, like how much pressure were they applying, what techniques were they doing, why were they in the ribs in that way, or were they trying to adjust him, you know?
So what Joanne's saying is like, that she needs more answers,
more info.
I would say this.
Yeah,
would you say this, Joanne, if he broke his rib and the massage therapist was the one that was performing on him, it's the massage therapist's fault 100% for that to happen? Is that a fair or unfair assessment?
Well, and again, see, that's why I need more information, because like, say if he did, you know, break it during the massage, right? Like, did he have pain prior to that? Like, do you think he may have tweaked it a little in a game or in practice and maybe just put it off as like it wasn't a big deal, just normal aches and pains, and maybe when she worked on him,
so he might have had
been
a
like
previous
straw
injury
that broke the camel's back. Yeah, could that been the straw that broke the camel's back? Like, I just like, that's what I'm saying. There's like so much information that I don't know. I mean, is it possible? Yes, but it's not likely through a standard deep tissue sports massage. I feel like the massages I do are pretty, can be at the extreme of maybe pain
threshold, but no question. I agree with that.
She said it was possible. So, I have no further questions. Would you like to cross-examine my witness?
I don't see it. Like, now Joanne get deep inside of a muscle, have you ready to curl up in the corner and die.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never wanted to hit a woman. Except when I'm on the table, and Joanne will get into those certain spots in your Achilles and
the IT bands. Oh, man, I'd be like, Joanne, you got to take your hands off me right now. Or I'm calling the police.
No question. And that's why it's hard for me to believe that he broke a rib.
And then my thing is, if she was inflicting that kind of pain on you, if she wasn't like standing on you and doing some Thai or any type of Ashiatsu type of massage, like at some point, if it's just regular deep tissue, like did he not communicate that like what she was doing was hurting and maybe she needed to like let off? Like,
what's Ashiatsu massage?
It's when somebody stands on you. It's like a barefoot massage when they're standing on top of you and they, you know, like with their feet. So I mean, which is very easy, but that couldn't be like excessive loading on the ribs. I mean, if somebody stands on your rib the wrong way or something like that, then yeah, it's easy to dislocate or maybe break a rib if you go to somebody that's not trained, you know. And Thai massage, like they're putting knees and feet and stuff all in your back and stretching you in these different ways. So if you don't have somebody that's trained well in that, then yeah, that's easy to dislocate or even fracture a rib in that way. But in a deep tissue massage, it's not very likely. It's not very common. I'm not saying it can't happen, but that's why I need more information. Like, and has he broken his ribs before?
Is it more possible? Is it more possible it could have came at the hands of his fiance?
Who knows? Did he do something?
I told you don't take that last piece of chicken.
You have any want the chicken? You can't play
like,
with the last
I would
piece
love
of chicken
to at sit all. Down with like both tomorrow, of them and just say.
That's what they need. They need a new massage therapist. And you know, don't get me wrong now, y'all, out there in radio land. Joanne is the massage therapist to the stars. Like she has a bunch of clients, on all different professional teams here in Houston, all over the country, all over the world, damn near. And so that's what we need to do. We need to figure out a way to get you over to Carlos and get him fixed up, because the Astros need him.
Yeah, Joanne, what's your information? So just in case Carlo's listening, he can find you.
Well, I'm on Instagram, Massage Ninja. It's really, pretty easy to find. Or you can, he could email me, joannebrito@gmail.com. Either way, but you can find me on Instagram at Massage Ninja.
Joanne, sorry about that. Thanks so much for adding the expertise that I didn't have.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Joe.
Joanne Brito from Massage Ninja, licensed massage therapist. I heard possible there. I'm sticking to my story that this was legit.
I'm going to be honest, man. After listening to her, I kind of believe her now. I believe the story that Carlos
So he must
have
been
getting,
somebody
like,
had to be walking on his back.
Yeah, if someone was walking on his back, because you could be walking on your back and it could break the side
break
of
the
your rib. I can see that happening.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way a regular elbow in the back. It's somebody had to literally physically walk on his back.
Or on his side or
on his
whatever.
Side,
wherever
yeah.
the direct pressure. So Joanne, the expert, she convinced me.
Either way, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. And what this means for the Astros going forward is up for debate. What do you guys feel is the serious factor, the serious rating of the Astros injuries currently?
The Astros just figure out a way to plug guys
figure
in
a way to win.
And win ball games, man. You saw what they did last night. They had four of their top guys out, and they still put up, 9 runs? Like, think about that. So after a while, I think it's going to catch up with them if they can't get Altuve back sooner than later. If they Carlos is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. A bunch of guys that are banged up. But if they can just continue along the way and plugging guys in and bringing them up and doing the job that – think about the Stubbs kid comes in there and gets 2 hits and gets an RBI in his first appearance.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. And that's what you get
people
from
picking
the Astros.
Up the slack.
Yeah.
That's one thing about building through the draft the way they've done it, is that you got a lot of kids that's picking up the slack, and every time they come up, it makes them hard to put back down. You see that all throughout Major League Baseball, but I think you see it a whole lot. They're playing a championship caliber baseball right now in Houston, and I think that's it's a wonderful thing to watch. I mean, right now, well, I think what they up was it 2-0? I mean, oh no,
you mentioned building through the draft, and that's one area where I've said Jeff Luhnow might be their best player, just because of how good a GM he is. And in that sport, it's very important to have a good GM. So that's the promising aspect of the Houston Astros, and the farm system's really good. You look at AAA, you have Jordan Alvarez that's just tearing it up. Kyle Tucker got off to a bad start; he started to perform really well. So it seems like even if you have the injuries, you have other players that are there ready to take their place. But I think that the injury concerns are a serious problem. Like, I'm ready to press the panic button. It's a huge problem. The one area that's allowing us to breathe a little bit easier is that the Houston Astros won a world championship in 2017. If they did not win a World Series in 2017, the entire city would be pushing the panic button like me. And the reason that I'm pushing the panic button of how I think that this is a high degree of seriousness for the Houston Astros with all these injuries, I'm looking at it more in the macro. I feel like you guys are looking at it a bit in the micro. You're looking at it this season, which is fine. Yes, they probably get Jose Altuve back. Springer will come back. Correa will come back. And everything will be fine and dandy come in September. Probably. And perhaps they'll contend for a World Series and maybe win another one. But I'm looking at this dynasty that I called 2 years ago. Before the Astros won a World Series in 2017, I said this is a dynasty in the making. All of these injuries, whether it's Altuve, whether it's Correa, whether it's Springer, it's starting to rock the foundation of that dynasty, and it's already happened. It happened last season. Jose Altuve was playing on one leg. Carlos Correa was playing with a bad back. Both of them played well below their expected performance. So this injury-riddled Astros club with Correa, Altuve, Springer, it has already cost you potentially one World Series title. And these guys aren't getting younger. Carlos Correa is a big-bodied shortstop. It's tough to play that position. It is grueling for a big guy to play shortstop. Jose Altuve was hurt last year at 28. He's hurt this year at the age of 29. You don't get healthier in your 30s. George Springer, sixth year in the league. He'll be 30 in September. You know how many times he's played more than 140 games in his career?
Once.
These guys are injury prone. Three of your four best offensive players are injury prone. And yes, they might win a World Series title this year. But the foundation of the dynasty has been rocked.
The Dodgers are going to win the World Series this year. But go ahead.
Listen, you make great points. But that also can be the exact reason why they stick together. Because the fact that they're getting injured all the time, and I don't want to say all the time, but the fact that they're getting injured, you use that in contract negotiations. They got so many really damn good players on the team that you can't keep them all if everybody keeps playing at a high level. That you have guys that are missing games and are out, that gets used against them. Now when it comes time to pay the piper, you can use that against them, and you can fit everybody under your budget and your salary structure.
You believe that?
So, yeah, I do believe that.
You think that nobody else is going to pay top dollar for George Springer when it comes time for free agency?
If you extend them before they become free agents, then you can do that.
Them boys ain't taking no pay. They ain't taking a hometown discount.
They might not take a hometown discount, but listen to what I'm saying. If you're a player and you found out that you realize that over the few years, I've been out a bunch, do I want to risk getting to free agency or do I want to get paid now? It happens all the time. There's a bunch of examples of guys that take the money now instead of betting on themselves later.
And they're part of a dynasty.
Why would you want to leave?
In this example, Jose Altuve has already done that. He's taken the guaranteed money. He has signed a long-term extension. George Springer has not. He betted for himself. Because earlier, whenever the Astros were signing up those long-term contracts, whenever guys were in the minor leagues like Jose Altuve, like John Singleton, who didn't work, the Astros offered that to George Springer as well. He said no, bet on himself, and he'll hit free agency in a couple years. Carlos Correa said it's not time to talk extension yet. Where it might work to the Astros' favor is that maybe they avoid these big contracts with Carlos Correa. Maybe Alex Bregman is the shortstop of the future. They don't spend big bucks on Carlos Correa, and Carlos Correa is forever injury prone, and they were able to dodge the bullet. Maybe that's the same thing with George Springer as well. That's the only way it could work to the Astros' benefit.
I don't see any of those scenarios working to their benefit as far as, because I think these guys are generational players. I really believe Carlos Correa, I mean, it's a 6'4" shortstop. What he's going to do, he's going to move from short to third base later on in his career, and he's going to keep the hot corner cool.
And he's nice with it. And he's 6'4" and nice with it.
That's what I'm saying.
He's better at third than he is at short, and he's really good at short.
Yeah, he's an all-star at shortstop. He's going to move to third base when he gets a little older, long in the tooth, and he's going to be a golden glove third baseman. So I don't see any situation with losing these young guys. The only positive is the fact that you got a title out of these young guys. All that losing that went on for all those years, you got a title out of these young guys. And I don't see, I mean, maybe because I'm a Dodger fan, I don't see them win another one. But I hope for this city that they can pull one more out of the hat before.
See, whenever they won it in 2017, I wasn't thinking one more. I was thinking three or four more. Whenever you filled in for the triple threat a few weeks ago, I heard you pop up the question, what would be considered a success over the next decade for the amount of titles the Astros win?
Right.
So yes, I still feel great about the Astros in 2019 winning a World Series. I feel great in 2020. But how do I feel about them racking up four or five? To me, that's taken a serious hit with the fact that these three players are injury prone.
But you're not taking into account the guy that put it all together that's going to still be here.
Oh, I take that into account more than anybody.
Well, if you take Luno being here.
I said he was the best player on their team.
So then if he's the best player on the team and he ain't going nowhere, then they'll find somebody else to potentially replace those guys if they end up having to go in a different direction. That's where you put your trust into that. Because that's the constant. You know, players come and go. They get hurt. That stuff, that's just part of the nature of the business. But if you have that mind, the guy that can make those moves, then if you're an Astros fan, you should be very excited about what's going to go on over the next 5 to 10 years.
So you believe if they don't win 4 to 5, it's a failure?
I wouldn't say failure.
Say three.
No, three is a good number.
If they get three, I'd be over the moon.
So when you look at this team, yeah, they're young. I don't know how long we keep them together. Do you see the Yankees of the 90s?
Yes. I thought that in 2017, yes.
You see the Yankees of the 90s?
You don't see that? You look like you got a little hesitation.
The biggest reason the Astros didn't go back-to-back last year was because they were injury-prone.
Because
Altuve was with – well, why did they lose? Altuve was a shell of himself. Correa was a shell of himself.
You lose in any sport.
That's baseball?
Yeah. It's baseball.
That's baseball.
It's a game.
All right, can say that about any sport.
I mean,
though.
But they lost. I mean, you play.
Why didn't Manny win more titles? He lost.
You play 182 games. Of course, it's going to be a little different. I mean, it's hard for nobody. It's hard for anybody to make it all of those games. It's hard for anybody with the schedules that they play, them back-to-back-to-back games. But it happens.
I want them all to be Cal Ripken. Hey, I'm kidding.
We wish.
Coming up next, why you can't. We might have a new contender for one of the worst first pitches in the history of Major League Baseball. Keep it here. It's the Smitty and Trap Show on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.